dedicated to the memory of the American dream. Rest in peace. Prologue. The past is a weapon with which we continually wound ourselves. It is that very infliction that instills within us a sense of belonging to something greater than ourselves, something that was never meant to last. So we romanticize it, and in doing so create memories of a place that never really existed, a place that can't possibly be held accountable for what has become of it in time, much as the body cannot be blamed for the ravages of age and disease. The truth is simple. Everything that lives must die. And in the vacuum created by its absence, an unlimited number of pasts converge at a point from which an infinite number of futures diverge. In this momentary state of otherness, we are gifted with both a new collective past and an altered future, for better or worse. In clinging to what could have been at the expense of what is, we commit the most grievous of crimes against ourselves, for we exist in a perpetual state of presence, with the ever-fluctuating future and its limitless paths spread out before us. Yet not one of them leads to a past that exists only in the faded colors of memory, the intervening years that have wrought physical deterioration upon everything we once held dear, but can no longer remember why. If we look back, we can clearly see our footprints in the dust of the ages, and all of the forks where we could have chosen a different path. Maybe one of them would have led to a better place than where we are now, a place where the past bleeds through into our everyday lives in comforting and reassuring ways, rather than as the lingering scent of feces to remind us that the walls are filled with rats. We blame others for what has become of our idyllic past, and yet ours remain the only footprints to be seen. Ultimately, we are forced to accept that no amount of longing will resurrect a bygone era, and nothing we do can forestall the inevitable. That is the definition of growing up. The recognition that our days in the sun are now done, that they've been usurped by another generation with a different past, one we didn't know enough to prevent. It is their past that is the direct consequence of our own, and their future we failed to ensure would never come to pass. Or maybe we're all guilty of deluding ourselves into believing that we ever had control of our own destinies. T.S. Eliot believed that the end would come not with a bang, but a whimper. I always knew that the world would end with the wail of sirens and the sound of gunfire. There was never any other way it could come to pass. Not for this city. Ours has always been a collective fate, despite our best efforts to slow the countdown to our own inevitable self-destruction. My name is Peter Weber, and I'm no longer convinced that obliteration isn't in our best interests. 3 days earlier. 1. I left my car at the mobile station on Van Dyke and paid the guy behind the glass $10 to keep an eye on it. The street lamp across Harper was busted. The weeds growing from the cracks in the sidewalk were easily 2 feet tall. Broken glass crunched underfoot as I jogged across the deserted street and ducked into the trash-strewn lot between a church with a hand-painted sign and the old East Town Theater. I watched for the electric blue glow of an acetylene torch above the roofline or the flicker of sparks around the seams of the boarded windows, and I prayed I wasn't too late. Birch and maple trees grew wild against the graffiti-covered western wall of the theater. It was so dark, I could barely see the narrow path leading between them and into the cracked asphalt and gravel courtyard, which was riddled with charred debris and shattered bottles. Power lines hummed overhead, and the whole area smelled like piss. The windows of the adjacent apartment building had all been boarded over long ago, even before the fire burned the front half to the ground maybe 5 years back. I always carried a micro Gerber recon flashlight,